Obesity is an American epidemic. Two-thirds of adults are overweight. Nearly one-third of adults are obese. The epidemic is more apparent now than ever among children. The percentage of children and teens that are overweight has more than doubled to 15% in the last two decades. And as more and more young people are tipping the scales, they're showing signs of the same conditions that a generation ago only struck adults. Pediatricians are now seeing heart disease, high blood pressure, and adult-onset diabetes in their young patients, conditions that could greatly shorten their lives. Families, medical facilities, schools, and community groups are testing a number of innovative ways to try and curb this deadly trend. I'm Laurie Udesky. 18-year-old Annie and her 56-year-old mother, Susan, discuss their lunch choices in the family's kitchen in Berkeley, California.
What are you gonna eat today, Mom?
Today I have 2 ounces of roast beef and 1 ounce of cheese.
I don't like roast beef.
I also have ground meat that has taco seasoning.
Nah.
Ratatouille and cheese.
I think I'll go for that.
I have carrots and celery. Oh, and you have your eggplant dip.
Does that count as protein or vegetable?
Veggie.
Good.
It may not sound like it, but Annie and her mother Susan are deadly serious about what they choose to eat. In fact, they see it as a matter of life and death. Annie lost 75 pounds in the last year. Her mother shed 100 several years ago. Susan says her own effort to lose weight was motivated by wanting to help her daughter.
It's already hard for mothers to talk to daughters in their teen years, but nothing is a tougher topic than food and weight issues. So I realized that the best thing I could do for her was to solve my own problem. Instead of talking about it, I had to model the solution.
But it took a few more years for Annie to heed her mother's example. The 5'2" college freshman remembers binging secretly on junk food after school. By the time she was 17, she weighed 236 pounds, felt winded walking up a flight of stairs, and had signs of a type of diabetes usually seen in adults. Her mother and a doctor made her understand just how serious a health hazard her weight was.
Basically, my mom and I were eating at a restaurant one day, and she just said point blank, "Annie, if you don't fix this, you're gonna die." And that was just sort of, huh? Oh my gosh, I'm 17, I'm invincible. It's really shocking to hear that.
Annie's doctor said she had 3 choices. She could lose weight and exercise on her own, take medication with harsh side effects, or choose surgery.
At that point, I said, okay, you know what? I'm not gonna take pills that make me feel disgusting. I'm not gonna have surgery. I can't do that. That just struck a chord with me that was off limits. That was the point where I thought, this is do or die.
Annie says her mother's support is what's helped her stay on course. But getting the right information across can be hard. Based in San Francisco General Hospital, Dr. Tran's pediatric clinic for overweight children and teens is treating patients at the core of the obesity epidemic. The hardest hit are children of color. Dr. Tran's patients are from low-income families and are mostly African American and Latino. Besides educating the children and their parents about eating nutritiously, her team tries to find realistic ways to get these children exercising more. Many live in neighborhoods where it's just not safe to go outside and play. A lot of her patients spend hours cooped up inside in front of the TV.
The information that we all know has not reached this population. Things like drinking too much less soda or having just a very simple 30 to 60 minutes of walking a day to prevent becoming overweight. None of our patients know that information.
Meanwhile, in Berkeley, California, a community group called Berkeley Youth Alternatives is trying to reach similar children and teens before they become statistics of the obesity epidemic. Teenagers play team sports in the organization's gym, while younger children are kept moving outside for 15 minutes before returning to the gym to do crunches, push-ups, and stretches. The group has also developed organic garden sites and is teaching teens and parents to plant and harvest and how to prepare healthy meals using the bounty from the gardens. It's necessary because poor communities often have little access to healthy food. Providing more access to healthy food, educating families about nutrition and exercise, and the health hazards of obesity may make it less likely in the near future that children will suffer adult diseases. For Consumer Health Interactive Radio in San Francisco, I'm Laurie Udesky.